It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 324.
And we got the deep-voiced man back in the building.
Hello, everybody.
Periscope.
I was going to say, that's definitely not Mr. 97. That's Periscope Pete.
Thanks for having me.
Are you okay with that nickname, the Periscope Pete? Did we talk about it last time?
We didn't, but I don't mind it. I think I've referred to myself as the human Periscope, but I kind of like that you took it another level.
I thought we took it off the website.
You changed it up.
Did I?
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
I like it. How are you, Pete?
Excellent. I'm thrilled to be here. Third time, I think, and Josh mentioned that once you get on three times, you're officially a friend of the show.
Oh, this is perfect because we were actually trying to work this out. So it's Fat Fridays.
Yeah.
We're waiting for some food to be delivered. It says it's 4 minutes away.
Don't show Pete what it is.
No, I won't show you what it is. So we were trying to work out which we want to build. We need a name for people who have come on to the show more than just a few times.
So TJ now pushed back on friend of the show because he's like, you people who have been on less than three times are still friends of the show.
Yeah, but then it's like the initiation once you get beyond the three. Not that it's like some huge filthy achievement. It's
or
like
some sort of filthy sort of initiation where you
is it separate to the cult that you've been creating?
Yeah, definitely separate to the cult.
Okay,
we need a distance from the cult. That's very special. So there was two names. Josh came up with one, and I came up with one. We won't say which they are.
Okay.
But it's
whose was whose?
Because there could be some biases.
This is like the coffee test all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we got you with that one.
So two names were.
Yeah.
You say.
I'll say it. Gronk Squad.
Or
we came up with that one.
Or Team Gronk.
So which do you like more, the Gronk Squad or Team Gronk?
Which becomes our Beliebers, essentially.
I think Gronk Squad.
Gronk Squad?
Honestly, yeah, hashtag Gronk Squad.
Okay.
I like it.
Mr. 97, what were you thinking?
Team Gronks.
Oh, okay, so we got...
Well, see, I said...
This is not helpful.
I said Gronk.
Hang on. Which one do you think... Who do you think came up with which?
I think TJ came up with Gronk Squad. And you came up with Team Gronk.
Nah, yeah, interesting.
You fucked it again.
Nah. Opposite way. Jeez, we got him again. He's failed a few tests.
Yeah.
You couldn't identify the long black from 7-Eleven.
Early days.
So, yeah, I came up with Team Gronk and Joshy Boy came up with Gronk Squad. My pushback on Gronk Squad was that the term squad is trying to be cool. And it's been ruined by a whole bunch of kids at primary schools.
Bunch of squads.
Yeah, they've just created their squad. And so it's almost as shit as the dab. The dab is...
He just did a dab. Can we turn that into a GIF?
Yeah, that was cool.
I was not being serious when I was there. I was mocking the dab.
But
the
that's
dab.
What you could do. Double down on the mock, I reckon. Yeah. Call it a squad.
I think that's it, yeah.
The dab's dead. At least Team Gronk could be...
But could you imagine the squad and... footage of all of us dabbing at the same time. That could be
actually, that's a good idea. Have you ever
there's
flossed?
One try hard amongst us. We don't need to.
Can you try?
I can try.
Yeah, you might have to stand
what are you
up
doing?
To do
doing
it. He's going to floss.
What is
you guys know how to do this?
Right, I don't know how to do this.
97 right. I don't know how to do
so
this.
So this is a video. This is on, go to our YouTube channel if you want to see.
Have you ever done this?
Peter Sheffield.
I have no idea.
Can I just say, be careful of the PowerPoint behind.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Okay. So this is Periscope Pete. Do you know how to do it?
No.
Give it a go. What do you think it is?
Sort of like this, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Get some hips. Get some hips into it. Oh, yeah. You're the backpack kid. You're the backpack kid. He came up with it. Yeah.
Great nailed
it. You know why I think you actually nailed it? It's because you've... how tall you are. The backpack kid is like a, he's not, he wouldn't be as tall as you, but he has that sort of wiry
frame.
Who
is the backpack kid?
He's the kid that came up with it. He's the kid that made the floss big.
Okay. Oh, really?
The backpack kid. You know, Mr. 97, he's...
Yeah.
You guys are so far removed from pop culture.
No, we're just a squad trying to get... And live it in the squad.
Which is why I don't think we go with squad. This is anyway, jury's out. We will work it out. We've had two versus two so far. So we'll find out. Whatever majority rules. I don't mind squad.
I like the idea though that everyone's a friend.
Yes.
And then you get that next level.
Gronk
squad. Just three. The Gronk squad.
Or
so you're embracing it.
No, I'm just saying both.
Well, Pete's even gotten into the domain names. The other day we were going for a walk on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And he sent me... What was it? Wednesdaywalk.com?
Yeah.
Which is available.
Oh,
this is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
The Uber Eats, thanks, the Uber mate. Eats guys.
Oh, my God. Can we get a cameo?
What is this?
Mate, do you want to come on?
Will you come on camera and deliver?
No, he's going to go.
He's got to go. Thank you.
He wants a good rating for his next.
Yeah, no, we get it.
Five star.
I don't think you give him five. Do you give him star ratings in Uber?
I never give anyone stars. So what we have, I mentioned on the show. No, I mentioned on the show, I believe yesterday, we have chimichangas for all of us.
Beef chimichangas. I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, well,
I heard you describe it. I still didn't understand what it was.
Yeah, so it is a, I believe it's a burrito.
Okay.
That's been deep fried.
So real healthy, guys.
Yeah, well, serious? It's Fat Fridays. It's Fat Friday.
No, you're right. You're right. Let's have a look. And when you think deep fried, you think it's going to come out like a battered salve or something.
It smells exactly so good. Be careful with the lid. So it's designed, the way they do it is it's in like a one of those foil trays, but then the cardboard lid has a tendency to get a lot of the goodness stuck on top. So you sort of peel it off.
Sticky lid.
Sticky lid. The name of the episode.
Maybe that's the title of the Gronk Squad. The Sticky Lid.
The Sticky Lid Club.
Oh, that does smell amazing. Pete, what does it smell like? What is this?
It smells very deep fried.
Have you got yours 97?
I mean, I'm a fan of Mexican.
You are?
I'm not sure about the deep frying on top.
I'd never heard of a deep fried burrito, but if there was one of my friends who knew about it, it's Josh.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be something like that. And so do you cook Mexican at home?
Not quite as much as Mr. 97 by the sound of it.
Yeah.
I like to keep it pretty simple.
Yeah.
Meat and veg.
Shit, I've just I totally forgot what we did and what we tried and attempted to do on one of the episodes, which was to call you.
Oh, yeah.
Fire. And connect you with who we would have hoped you thought was your girlfriend. Can you tell us about what happened and what your girlfriend emailed us about?
Okay, yeah. So Chelsea, shout out. She sent you guys an email, I think, after you said, who is it that wouldn't call each other on the phone? Yeah, I think, and you were sort of laughing with 97 about no one uses phones anymore.
Yeah, well, it's his generation. I was really sort of encouraging him to get on to the blower. Get on the blower. Call.
Have you heard, Pete, have you heard anyone call it a blower before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it okay that I'm staying to eat my chimichanga?
Go for it.
Peter. Is it? We can talk. You've never asked for permission. So why ask now? It's your show, bro. It's your show too. So just do what you want. So I was always encouraging, like, I've seen the younger generation just totally glued to their messenger. Like, I've received from young people. That sounds weird.
Young people.
Facebook. Young people. Facebook messages over, like, about work. I've hired them to be a part of film shoots and they message me on Facebook. I'm like, bro, you're lucky I checked that. Yeah. Far out.
Send me an email. Give me a call.
So that's what you heard.
Yeah.
And then Chels
sent you an email confirming that her and I have never spoken on the phone before.
And you've been together for what, 2 years?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. 3 years.
So you live together?
No, we don't.
Oh, you don't live together?
No.
Is this a over the internet relationship? Have you ever met?
Yeah, to me. Yeah,
online dating. He's being catfished. And so was there an actual discussion around the potential that you might start using the phone? I tried calling you today. You didn't answer.
Yeah. So I have anxiety about phone calls.
Okay.
Essentially what I boil it down to. In fact, it's almost, I think it's in our family. We have a joke about having to make phone calls is like one of the scariest, hardest things you could possibly do.
And where does this come from? Like, other than it being a family thing?
I honestly have no idea. It's just like back from as young as I can remember where it's like, oh, you got to call the health insurance company and sort out you. And I was like, oh my God, it's the scariest thing ever. And to the point where when I was working in corporates and startups and I was looking after clients and I have to call them, I'd like get myself a meeting room, pace around for 20 minutes, build myself up to call this person and end up having a great conversation with them. But whatever it is, I don't know what it is. It just gives me this like huge anxiety.
I feel like you're a guy that leans into it though, but in my mind that would seem to bring the result of getting rid of that. But you lean into it, but it's always there. So it's never gone for you.
What about Skype and Zoom?
This is the weird thing is Zoom, I'm all about it. I love it. The video conferencing, totally fine. Absolutely fine with that. It's something, I don't know what it is. It's something about having to do a phone call just completely freaks me out. A
prank call gone wrong when you were young?
There were a few actually. I don't know if I've like suppressed that, but we did used to do a little bit of prank calling. And
really?
I remember getting in trouble from one time we were calling our one of the girls that we all had a crush on in grade 3 or something. And we called her and her mum answered. And was like, you kids, stop calling this number. Yeah. And it was, I think maybe it might stem from that.
Well, I remember when I got caller ID, I was just seeking the prank callers. I wanted them to come. I was just standing on. And I remember I had my friend Robert called me, but he was calling me from Lachlan's phone number.
Mm.
So I said, hello. And he's like, oh, hey, it's Rob. And then the conversation started. And he said, oh, what do you think of Lachlan,
by the way? Lachlan's listening.
Yeah, he was listening on the other thing. Yeah, and so I hung up and they called back. And my mum picked up and she said, if you want to be Josh's friend, be his friend. Otherwise, stop calling.
Jeez.
So Lynn's got my back.
My feedback to you just on that was one of my favourite things about the show is when you impersonate your mum. So thank you for doing that in the flesh. Live,
I know. It's a unique experience.
It's a great experience meeting a person.
What I hadn't seen was the facial expression when he does it. It's really made eye contact.
And there's an intensity to it.
YouTube.com/ The Daily Talk Show.
Try the chimichanga. You're going to have to use it.
Is this a thing we actually, we genuinely eat on it?
Yeah, you can eat. I'll talk. So there's prank calls. It was a different era of the landline. Mr. 97, do you know what a landline is?
Yeah, barely.
Do you have a landline at your home?
Nah.
No, you don't. So you're a...
Does anyone still?
My mum and dad do.
Yeah.
Other than that, nah.
Is it the same number as your household, like your childhood phone number?
No. Remember on the show I tried to call my childhood number, disconnected?
Oh, that's right.
I'd love to get that back. I'd get a landline. I'd bring the landline back.
I reckon there is something like hipster cool.
Yeah.
People listening to records, calling on landlines.
Wouldn't that be great? I don't have a mobile. I just have a landline.
It was imagine hard. That. So when Mr. 97, there was a time when you couldn't tell who was calling. And this was a time when my mum and dad and our household received some late night calls. And I remember like hearing the sound of the home phone ringing.
It rattles you, don't you reckon?
Late at night, eerie.
Yeah.
Eerie as fuck.
Someone's died. Call. Like the amount of like deaths or whatever. Like you'll hear the, oh my goodness. Like I just remember like my mum like, oh no. I can't believe that someone they died.
Just by that, it's you know, there's a place in the house where they go to. Yeah. Anyway, I remember my eldest brother, who's 8 years older than me. So I don't know, I would have been a young kid, but he would have been a teenager. And there was some kids that called and impersonated the police and said that we've arrested Anthony Jacket.
Oh, no.
So like eerie and scary. Like kids can be fucking assholes.
Yeah.
But that would scare the shit out of you. I think mum knew that he was fine. But back in the time when there was my brother didn't have a 5210, which I had. Which was huge brick, the size brick. Of this bloody can.
What, the 5210, was that prior to the 3210?
Yeah.
The 3210 came after, I think. Yeah, which was the one with Snake 2, wasn't it?
5210, 3210, 3310.
Oh, yeah. 3315.
Yeah.
Got fancy.
I had the flick down, I think it was a 7250. It's so weird that they're all numbers,
Do you remember the
what the fuck?
I got a code.
How weird is that?
The Motorola Razr changed the game. I had a pink Motorola Razor, because it was just a bit of a flex, or not like it's just
no,
weird
it was a
flex.
Peacock, bro.
The reason flex. It was peacock,
but flamingoing.
But the reason I was doing it, I think, is because you could only similar to what happens now with the iPhones, where it's like I'm going to get this color because you can only get this in the new one.
Yeah.
The second Razor, which I think was actually thicker, which is sort of counterintuitive to where it's all sort of gone. But it was a strong
flex because you were like, I've got the second version.
Yeah, I think it was a bit like that. But I did have a Siemens phone that was my first ever phone that had polyphonic ringtones.
Oh, nice. Polyphonic ringtones.
Yeah, do you remember
that? Remember the ads and you used to have to call a number or send a text to a number?
So I actually edited one of those videos where it was like, text you and your partner's name to the number on the screen and find out if you're compatible.
God.
Like
all of this is going over Mr. 97's head.
Yeah.
No idea what's going on.
Crazy, huh? I remember parties. There was some home phones that got used to call those numbers in the back of newspapers or magazines, the naughty numbers.
What about? So I saw it.
Which cost like $5 a minute.
So naughty expensive. Numbers. Yeah.
Naughty numbers. Remember the sex lines?
Is it still a thing?
It's still a thing, dude.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. I haven't seen them, but people would use home phones at like parties. Yeah, and shit. Yeah. It was like a real sting.
Have you guys heard of swatting?
No.
So this that's horrible.
Tell me more. So this is a big thing in the US in the gaming community. I saw a video on it. I think BuzzFeed have like a doco series on Netflix at the moment. Do you know what that's called, 97? But anyway,
delicious, by the way.
Yeah, they're so good, aren't they?
I'm enjoying it, yeah.
It's not like deep fried like you'd think.
No.
It's soggy because they
lightly fried, I think.
Yeah. But they basically swatting, it's pretty horrendous. If you're playing a game and you're really good, like say Counter-Strike or something, someone will basically find your address and they say that there's been like a gunman in the person's place, and so the SWAT teams come to this house someone's actually been killed by like opening their door.
What?
And someone's like, it's ridiculous. What? So anyway, because in the US,
kids are fucked. And yeah, that's brutal.
And because police are like militarized in the US, so they've got like crazy guns and stuff.
Yeah, AK-47.
Yeah, it's like full on shit. But it's a real problem where I think there was 1,000 cases of SWATting in the US last year.
We've gone pretty far off the story of Chelsea.
The tangent's gone a long way, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing with phones. So like I know like with Skype and stuff, you can't do like emergency stuff because they can't work out where you are. You can't use VoIP.
So you're good with video call. You're just not good with getting on the blower.
Yeah, something about it.
And interesting.
So I think there was
What about if it's a phone call to Seth Godin? Well, like if he said, mate, Mr. Pete.
Surely he's just on Skype or Zoom.
Yeah, we have Zoom calls. I've had Zoom calls.
No, but if you had to call him, would this anxiety be there?
Totally.
Really?
Yeah, probably more so.
What about Josh?
Calling me?
Speaking to Josh. Like who is there in your life that doesn't evoke any? What about mum?
Probably mum and dad are the only two, I reckon.
Really?
Like if my brother called me, I'd be like, that's weird. Maybe someone's died.
If I call. I mean, you just don't answer. I don't think you've answered.
I don't answer. Yeah.
Have you ever answered one of my calls?
I think once.
Okay.
When you said I'm 5 minutes away and I was there for 15 minutes and then you called me and you were like, I'm almost there.
Were you impressed that I said that we're 2 minutes away before and we were exactly two minutes?
It was 2 minutes, yeah. I was happy with that.
Okay, so you've never spoken to Chelsea on the phone?
No. So there was a conversation we had, I think, at the start where I think I shared with her the anxiety that I have behind phones. And she also spends most of her day at work on the phone to people. So she was like, yeah, I don't really like phone calls either.
Okay.
So we just haven't had the need to speak on the phone. I know it sounds weird to other people, but to us it's like.
Eh. And when we speak about it, you could look at the weirdness of it or
I can see the weirdness.
Yeah, and so you see that for the majority out there.
Yeah,
I think like sales calls and shit, like I get heartbeat going and calling people. I remember calling girls, you know, it's like, fucking. Called Amy first time. I remember that. It felt like a big deal.
What happened?
I tried to tell her. So when I met her in Bali, and I came back with his hat, and I kind of knew where the hat came from, but there was a chance that because Amy came and stayed, someone left in the room. So someone who was on the trip with us,
another girl that was in your room.
No, it was a trucker cap. It was when Hamish and Andy did the Thailand special.
Oh, yes.
And so they had all these hats. Anyway, the hat belonged to Jesse Martin, who was over filming with Hamish and Andy. Uh-huh. But I was like, maybe this hat could be Amy's, which is a good in to call her and say, hey.
The excuse to
have
call.
Did you leave a hat?
And it also has a bit of cut through as well, because it's like I'm connected with entertainment. Like it could be you, but it could be one of my friends.
Either you or Hamish and Andy. So.
Yeah, look, I never dropped the name. I will state that.
What did you say to the hat? You would have described the hat.
I described the hat. It's a green, like has some Thai symbols on it. But it was like notably, I didn't go with that angle at all.
And so you call her?
I called her and my heart was fucking beating because I loved it.
And she said, and she said, oh no, that's not my hat.
You're like, no, all right, then we just got into some chatting and that was so, fuck, that's bringing up some nice little warm memories inside.
What do you talk about?
Oh, we just talked. Like this is the thing.
What time of day was it?
It was evening. I was living in Shepparton, so I was like...
Lonely evening.
I was lonely and I was away from family and I was coming down off that holiday where I met her and I was thinking about her every moment.
How far off from the trip to the call about the hat?
Yeah, two, 3 days, okay. I reckon.
Mm-hmm. So you've been sitting with the hat there thinking, when am I going to call her? When am I going
to
call
her? This is my advice to Mr. 97. You've got to seize the moment. Mm. There's some energy and sort of excitement around from the moment you meet somebody.
My biggest frustration.
To the moment you actually get together.
Yeah.
It actually contributes to the reason why you could end up together or not end up.
But isn't there also the other side of the coin, not to say that we should use the game as our standard of, but Neil Strauss talks about negging.
Yeah.
And would a soft neg be?
Yeah. Well, you could, but I'm not here to fucking play games. Amy's thoughts around me telling her what I wanted in terms of calling her, saying I want to see you. Mm-hmm. She loved that.
Yeah.
She was like, that was a big win for me because I didn't have to think about it what you were thinking because I told you
that's amazing.
Do you think people are different? There's different types of people.
Definitely, but I've tried all of the approaches, and Amy's had similar, mm-hmm. and she said she just really valued that. And so then it's like
just clear communication.
If you do what you want to do, which I did, and she was at that point of her life, that connected us.
Yeah,
that's why I'm saying like maybe it is a bit, like do what you want, but whatever you do in that moment, there's some timing within that as well.
Yeah. Yes,
and so anyway. I called her and we spoke for, I don't know.
Who the fuck? You can answer it? Don't answer it.
No, number I don't know. I'm anxious. Anyway.
Why use your phone on
because
of the Uber Eats?
Because of the Uber Eats thing. And so, yeah, we would speak for hours, and especially when we're doing long distance.
Hours, really?
We would speak at night most, like when we started actually getting into a relationship, you know, official, we would talk for so long, and it was every night, and it was lovely.
But the long distance is obviously playing a role there.
Well,
the longish distance.
Yeah, yeah. And now, still, we talk on the phone heaps.
Okay.
Josh is on the phone to Bree heaps too.
Yeah. I'd just be like what are you up to?
If we weren't owners of this business, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
You know,
that's why I was in trouble at all my other places. Yeah, because I'll call Bree, and I'll say what are you doing?
Yeah,
and normally the answer is I'm working. What are you doing?
See, I can't get my head around that. Why I would call Chelsea and say, "What are you up to?" She'd be like, "Working."
Well, because I'm trying to work out. I'm like, "Oh, what do you want to do? What do you want to do for dinner?"
Yeah.
And Bri will be like, "Oh, I'm thinking like something naughty." I'm like, "Okay, great."
Yeah, interesting. Anyway, so maybe that's been my experience with. I love it. I love that.
I think so. In my defense, because I know it sounds weird.
No, it's good. I like it.
Especially early on, like we train at the same gym. So I knew basically every day I was going to run into Chelsea at some point during the morning.
Mm.
So I didn't necessarily have that when am I going to speak to you next kind of thing. We also lived all of 300 meters away, I think, from each other in Richmond, which was helpful. And I think our version of that, like this is how I want to be communicated with, was me saying I have anxiety over phone calls and her going, I speak to people most days, every day on the phone. So it doesn't interest me either. I'm like, perfect.
How quickly did you bring that forward?
Pretty early.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah, pretty early on.
Yeah.
It's a good, like I think there's, it's definitely not negging, but there's an element, like I think that I'd be like, oh, that's what a weird
dude. What a quirk. Yeah,
what a strange guy. And I like this.
I will say, full disclosure, there's been a few moments, I mean, it's been 3 years, there's been a few moments where I'm like, fuck, it would be easier if I just called her now.
Yeah.
But you don't want to break.
But it's almost at the point now where it's like, well, we've come this far.
What do you think Seth Godin would say? He's a friend of yours.
Yeah. I'm sure he would say, what's a phone call for?
Yeah. And who's it for?
Exactly. So who's it for?
It's for my relationship.
If you were calling to have a conversation about nothing, he'd be like, what's that for?
Yeah, yeah. I get that.
Whereas if it was like, you know, we surely have to decide on what we're having for dinner.
Relationship bit. Like who's on the couch watching TV, who's it for? What's it for?
I love it. But do you think he would?
Do you reckon he's a real person?
I'm not judging you at all because it's like, it's your life, I've got my own. It's like,
it's such a judgmental thing to say.
No, but I'm noting because I don't want to seem, by me prying in this sort of opposite thinking, is me being mean to Pete and what his choices are. I respect that he feels anxiety.
I think I'm on board with other things. For instance, the idea of getting water from downstairs before to the cafe was a bit too much for me. So Mr. 97 did it. But I think like...
We all have our own anxiety quirks.
I think there are a few things that bring up anxiety for me, social anxiety. I'm quite good socially. But for whatever reason, phone calls is just one of those things.
Mm. Toilet is one for a lot of people.
Interesting.
Going to the toilet in new places, not pooing at work.
Oh, it's more...
Really?
For me, it's more... we've spoken about it before, but if you're a female and they haven't been to the men's toilets, they have... Are they called troughs? What do we call them? Urinals?
Trough?
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah. See, this is a guy who doesn't use one.
I use one, but if I really need to go, I just... The pressure in which I want to push, there's just a risk of splashback that I just don't want to have to deal with.
This is a man who barely progressed from nappies.
But do you sort of understand what I mean? As a tall dude, is there issues with urinals for you?
Yeah, I'm sure there's something with the...
The height? pissing on a man, you don't realise there's someone.
Mine's very much going downwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so that actually works out quite well for you, I think. Yeah. Because I think the risk is that... you know, like when they have like plastic, you know, they've got like a gel thing or whatever. What I'm not sure is where am I meant to aim? Do you know?
Yeah, I know. I don't think about it. I think I just go.
Yeah.
What do you think, TJ?
There's a lot of thought in the toilet
stuff.
Do
you aim at the ceramic bit? Like,
mate, I do what's best for the moment.
Yeah.
That means you guys don't know.
Well, there's a bunch of different toilets.
But TJ, you've had piss on your pants before at work. So you're not like a great.
No, I haven't. Never. Never had it on work. If you're pissing on your pants, how the fuck am I pissing on my pants?
I don't know. There's no urinal here.
There's a toilet. So it's pretty directional. There's no piss. I piss on my pants. Do you want me to leave while you guys unpack this?
No. We don't need to unpack it anymore.
No, it's a big statement.
No, it was big.
No, I'm not saying you piss in your pants. You pissed on your pants.
Hey, I'd rather piss in my pants than on my pants.
I don't know. But there's also certain colours. That's just like if I wear certain colours, I've got to be very, very, very pedantic. Mm. And it just happens. You just need one bad urinal for one little bit of spray back or whatever for it to fuck you. And that's what happened with me. It happened once and I'm like, well, what am I doing?
Pete, so with clients, coaching clients, what we're talking about here is little things that we make really big and that not being a bad thing, it just being the thing. What's the mechanism for moving forward through these things? And I'm not. We can do the call to your missus and have the first ever moment of you talking.
That.
You don't want to do that, and I don't want to pressure you into it.
What about me pissing in a urinal on the show?
We'll do that.
Maybe we could do both. What's your fear, TJ? What are you?
I feel levels of all of these things to some degree. I think about what other people think of me a lot, but I don't know how much it affects me, but I definitely feel, I think Josh, like that cool thing, you know, like wanting to seem like you've come across cool. I've worked a lot at that being something that I don't want to care too much about what people think of me, but I definitely care what people think of me.
I think everybody does. Sure.
Yeah.
If you think about, I've spoken about this with a few people before, but if fear is like an onion and every time you unpack a fear, there's another layer. Mm. I think the core of the onion for everybody is the fear.
Is a chimichanga.
It's also the most amount of tears.
I think it's the fear of what other people think of us. I think almost so many things that we do out of fear are based on the perception of other people.
When you come on a show like this, what do you reckon the guest fears would be? What do you reckon the most common?
I think that's it. Is like, I don't want to come across as an idiot. I want people to think that I'm interesting. I want people to think that I'm funny. I want TJ and JJ to think, you know, that I'm worth having on again. There's all of those fears, I'm sure, go through every single person that comes on the show.
And now everyone's thinking, can I become Team Gronk?
Yeah.
And exactly. Will I make it through to Team
Gronk? Oh, we're back to Team Gronk now, not the squad.
I have to cheerlead my side.
We're back on.
You say cheerlead?
I don't want to seem stupid. I think doing something like this, the podcast, is like the antidote to making yourself look silly, which means you're not worried about looking silly as
totally. I think like I have my own podcast and with Jen Waldman, and we've spoken about it before, but I think it's the sort of thing that even if no one was listening, I would still 100% do. And I actually think everybody should do it. Like, it's a bit like blogging 10 years ago. There's value in writing down your thoughts in the same way. There's so much value in just talking about things out loud. So I totally agree.
Blogging's changed a bit. I don't know if we spoke on air with Genevieve about that, but like, bloggers were a real thing. Yeah. You think about like some of the people who I followed on Twitter, Darren Rouse, pro blogger. That's the
was big that a thing? Pro blogger.
Pro blogger. Wow. That was his whole thing and still is his thing. What's your take on the blogging thing? You have a blog, you write on it.
Yeah,
do you think that the all the social media stuff and podcasting has changed the landscape?
I think a little bit. Mm-hmm. The thing that always makes me smile and laugh about blogging is so many people say they do it, but then you go on their blogs and it's like the last post was 2017. I think the consistency of showing up every single week or every single day, if you're Seth Godin,
is so rare.
Mm. Like, everyone's got one, but who's actually actively writing? Mm-hmm. So I actively write on a Sunday every week.
Yeah.
And I've committed to that for the last almost 2 years. Mm.
You and I were talking about, have we spoken about the page, like the writings and the morning
pages? Oh, the morning pages. This bloke gets out, just lays in bed. Do you do it in bed?
I've changed since we talked about that.
Really?
So I used to roll over and grab my notebook and then just do it on my stomach while I was still in bed. Maybe it was because it was summer now, I get out of bed and I just got a bedside table that I can stand at.
Yeah.
Because I think I was doing it while I was lying in bed and then I'd like get tempted to fall back asleep.
Really? So if did I take you myself, ever fall asleep?
I didn't fall asleep, but I would get halfway through a page and then be like,
oh, it's like meditating lying down. You're kidding yourself.
You can't.
You're
kidding yourself. You got to get yourself out of bed.
Yeah.
And then like maybe I'll go to the bathroom, splash a bit of water on my face, and then I can do my writing.
Splashing the water on the face, is that I realized maybe 3 years ago I was making a video, and there were some parents and they were getting their kids ready for bed, and they're like, "Oh, okay, everyone, let's clean your eyes, clean your eyes." And they're like, they're getting like, you know, cleaning, like close your eyes and clean it. I'm like, I've never cleaned my eyes before.
Clean your eyes.
Clean your eyes. Like clean it, like all the sleep. Like just let's get all the gunk off it.
Getting up
just,
in the morning or going to bed?
I was going to bed.
Interesting. Weird. I think that's just a family quirk.
I think at night, I mean in the morning, like you can rub the sleep out of your
but
eye.
But you, is it actually like is,
a as a father, I think you tell your kid, like I tell, wash your dicky. And he
why does it always come to Cox?
Because who teaches you to do this? I got to tell my son for the first couple of years of his life, you got to wash your dick.
Because he wouldn't know.
And so he does this. And then I start. Now
his eyes are just calloused
under
from
arms,
all this.
Under your arms. So it's like it will get there. Maybe it's a thing that soon down the track.
Isn't that funny?
You won't need to be told like to do this.
These things that we take for granted that 100%, you would see it. Like
who taught you, bro?
Someone has to teach you that.
Who taught you?
How often when you guys are washing your hair do you like get out of the shower and realize that you still got shampoo in?
I've done it a couple of times. Under the arm for me. Yeah, because I like to just let it sit and then I get do my other stuff.
Yeah.
The hair
one hasn't happened to me. I don't
really.
I don't wash my hair that much.
You don't have much hair. But you got solid hairline and dense hair. But
how often are you getting a haircut?
For every 4 weeks.
Where do you go?
Go to Beef's Barbers in Richmond.
They pay good? No same, mate.
Which is the quite beef good.
No, I wouldn't know.
You asked
No, I wouldn't know. I did. I want you to say a barber.
It is a hipster barber. You get a beer, you know, all that.
You get a beer. I can't go there. I get anxiety around them asking if I want a beer.
The answer is no.
And that,
Scott.
Just a place.
No. Whatever your barber.
No, the drunken barber on Smith Street. I was just so panicked.
It was in the name, bro.
Yeah.
They didn't hide it.
I do a free beer. I just wanted it to be like... I just didn't want us. I don't know.
This is a hard question for me to ask, and I'm asking you.
Oh, here we go.
So I don't have the answer specifically for me, but in terms of forming that sort of habit and why you show up each day and do the thing that you do, what have you identified? What it is for you?
Yeah, I think I started it because I mean I've always been one that's kind of been a little bit I guess obsessed with this idea of. Making yourself a little bit better, doing things that are going to be beneficial for your health and your fitness and your mind. And so I think I started because of that, but I'm also quite good at forming habits and sticking with habits that I know make me feel better. Mm. And so once I'd done it for, I think I sort of realized it had been 3 or 4 months and then I was like, I think this is helping.
I'm not laughing at you, Pete. I'm laughing at this fucking Gronk. To the left
I
of you.
I didn't know that.
Did a mouthful of his chimichangas.
7 by 7 centimeter piece.
Just deep-throated his chimichangas.
I didn't realize it was going to be crunchy. Because the thing is.
It's fried.
No, but the way that it's set up, they're not all crunchy. You get that? It's like some of it's crunchy, some of it's not.
Anyway, sorry, mate. Sorry.
No, it's all right. I think once I got to a point where it was 3 or 4 months and then maybe I think I might have gone on a holiday and I didn't do it. And I've like noticed that I had more. I guess cloud and anxiety in my head and was like, that's pretty interesting. So what if I kept doing it? And so I just sort of kept doing it. And I've experimented with, you know, writing 3 pages, writing 1 page, not writing and like all of those different things. And at the moment, just writing 1 page every morning, it just is a habit that for me is worth doing. And sometimes it leads to a blog idea. Sometimes it leads to a podcast idea. 99% of the time, it's just crap. But I feel better because of it.
There's probably been a million blog posts about this topic in terms of 30 days is the number of days to form the habit, the pathways. What do you think about that? I don't know if it's 30 days.
It's 28 days, but 28 I think days. It turned out to be a bit of a myth.
Something I've been into recently is there's this framework, the Gretchen Rubin podcast. She has a podcast, but she has this framework.
It's called the Happiness Project
it
or
is,
something?
Yeah. But she has this thing called the Four Tendencies. And it's not like those personality profiles that tries to pigeonhole you, but it's basically how we respond to expectations. And there's 4 different ways that we respond. And the way that I happen to respond is if I make a promise to myself or if someone else like says that you need to do this thing, I'm what they call an upholder. And so I'm just really good at upholding my promises.
See, I'm not an upholder.
Yes,
this is my problem.
So most people are what they call-
Rebel, is it?
I'm not thinking I'm a rebel. There's questioner. There's upholder and there's obliger. So most people need someone else to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
That's why people like coaches and mentors and all these sorts of things because we need that accountability. I think I'm one of the rarer cases of if I commit to something like a New Year's resolution, I know I can kind of just stick to it. And I don't know why or how. It's just...
You're an upholder.
I'm an upholder.
So does that mean that you're more careful about the New Year's resolution? Because I'm very like, yeah, see, bang, bang, when I'll just do all New Year's resolutions.
So I heard yours and it was giving me anxiety because I was like, there's no way. Like, you can't possibly do all that. That's just annoying.
Yeah.
But you can't tell him because he'll drop you as a friend. He'll be like, nah.
Tell me what it was like 3 hours of reading, stop 4 hours of writing. How are you going to do all these things? Yeah,
you're projecting. Go away.
it's very true. That was probably the best impersonation that Tommy's ever done.
We've had Lynn. We've had Tommy. Exactly. Josh. Yeah,
it's perfect.
You do Lynn. I do you.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. It sounds like the best party. the morning pages. Mm-hmm. You're very strict. You're very strict on that. The other thing I noticed is, you're very strict on your diet.
Yeah.
Because I was talking about like, man, how am I going to be lean? How can I be lean? And
just you're when like, you were saying you wanted to be gaunt.
Yeah. Absolutely. I stand by that.
You don't stand by absolutely. Being sick.
No, not but sick, but just sort of
what
like.
What is gaunt is directly related to sick people.
You don't want to be gaunt.
Or people who have been severely ill. No. Seriously.
I think that there is something nice about
it. I told you my grandfather was gaunt after World War II when he was captured for 2 years.
But the thing is, it's more like the I'm not overdoing the food. Like gaunt says I've got enough control that I only eat what I need to survive. If you're gaunt and you're dead, you've overdone it. If you're gaunt and still living, you're probably just – you're on the cusp. But what's the difference between not eating enough and – eating too much.
What about the option, because that's what we do have, the option of being fit and healthy, strong.
Lean is the word.
Yeah, sure. But you have optimal, like a lot of
like your body, a person who's gaunt, unless it's from
isn't eating
a shitload of exercise and they're actually in that stage of they've worked so hard, they're still fit and gaunt. But what about being an optimal engine?
Yeah.
This is just
being healthy.
We're just a vessel, dude.
Yeah.
And if you can have a good vessel.
Yeah, I get it. But my point wasn't about my diet. It was about Peter Shepherd's diet. Pete, do you have rules around this? Because you're not like.
He made the rule 20 years ago and he's upheld.
It hasn't been that long because it was Chelsea that sort of set you on this path, wasn't it?
I definitely have her to thank. I started learning and understanding a lot more about food and fitness and health before I met her, but then she's. Like to the next level of awareness of what to eat and what not to eat. And again, it comes from the same place of the writing is like, if I can set myself up to be fitter and healthier and happier and just feel better and have more energy, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And so when I realized like the aha moment of, holy shit, having 4 bits of toast in the morning and then 2 sandwiches for lunch and then having another bit of toast when I get home from work.
A lot of bread.
That's why I'm always tired because I've just had so many carbs, so many dense carbs that you just don't need.
Mm.
So once I like had that aha moment and I started reducing that, I was like, oh, I feel better. Mm. Interesting. Let me learn more about this. And so
isn't it fucked up though how like that's really easy for you, but the idea like straight away I'm like, yeah, but I can make a phone call.
Yeah,
and
totally.
You can't.
Exactly. So everyone's got their thing.
Isn't it weird though that it's like it's like doing a podcast every weekday is really hard for some people. It's easy for me. Mm.
Yeah.
Is this limiting beliefs? Like is this – So for instance, something that I've always said is if it's in my house, I'll fucking eat it. And I've said that for a long time, but it's only really recently.
You would have died at my mum and dad's place with all the wagon wheels.
At my mum and dad's place, they've got stuff. We now have a snack cupboard that for some reason we just started, Amy and I are on this no sugar during the week, which sometimes falls off. But we've actually started keeping naughty treats that we have on the weekend.
Them for the weekend.
And we haven't been touching them. And I'm like, fuck, all this needs for me to do is form a new belief that's if it's in the house, I don't have to eat it.
Yeah.
I choose to eat it or something like that.
Yeah, it's a
and
choice.
So, yeah, so there are, that's what I remember doing like when I did my coaching course. It was always like, what are your beliefs? Write them all down and then challenge them because they're just, you've just formed them in some.
Yeah, it's a story. Like every single thing that we have in our head is a story. And I have heard you guys talk numerous times about there's the opposite of every story is also true for someone. So like whatever you believe, someone else thinks you're irrational. And whatever they believe, you think maybe they're irrational. And so we're all irrational beings in some way.
Mm. So how do you reframe the phone thing? Could you do a month where it's like I'm not going to do text message, like go old school?
I think so. Like if I
be
really
like an older person where they're like, don't do text, just call me.
I think if I really wanted to, it would have to be it would have to be clear to me on what's it for. But if I really wanted to, I could, I'm sure, say to myself, do phone calls instead of text messages. Yeah, I just don't know if I have
like, but the way that
belief
you,
in it's going to help me. How is it going to help me?
Well, I guess that's like the, we well, had a conversation.
Well, if it's not hindering you, then maybe that's why you're saying
it. But isn't
it?
That so the same argument that I make about like not going to the psychologist where I'm like, I don't think it's going to add anything right now. Yeah. But is that just part of the anxiety in the story?
Well, maybe, but I think there's got to be, in order to motivate anyone to do anything, you have to be clear in like, what am I getting? Like, what's the benefit? Mm. Why am I doing this? Otherwise, you're not going to do it.
Yeah, well, I think we can all build a case for and against for our own problems, right? It's like you can challenge your thinking around that. And I'm sure you could come up with 10 new things, more leads, more interaction with others that will connect me with other, you know, whatever. True, it's like there's a bunch.
Could be a better, I mean, who knows? Probably could be the case that Chelsea and I could have a better relationship if we spoke every day on the phone instead of sending 20 messages a day on the phone or whatever.
The good thing is that you're allowing the phone call to have cut through when you're ready to make the call.
Oh, it's going to be a big phone call.
Yeah, but the thing is, but the problem is,
can we have the exclusive, please?
Yeah, when I'm ready, I'll give you guys a nod.
But I think you need to do it
like that. He wouldn't give us a call. He
said, no, I'll say, when I'm ready, I'll give you guys a nod. How do we know about the nod?
I'll text you. Yeah. I'll text you when I'm ready.
But there is a risk in you being fought. This is going to take it dark for a sec. Just prepare. Pete on the camera is like very smiley right now, so I'm just preparing him for the dark bit. No, someone dies, something happens, it's going to force you to make a call.
Totally.
Maybe you're better off getting it out of your system before the negative thing, just so, because otherwise someone dies, you have to call Chelsea about it, then it's only just reaffirming that the only time calls happen is bad stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I can almost guarantee the first time if and when I call Chelsea – she'll probably answer and say who died. Like, you know, like it'd be like, what happened?
What I love that you say, Josh, is bring the pain forward. You know, in all the things we're doing, what's the hardest bit? How can we do that now to then free us into this next space?
Yeah, if you do it, it's like that stretching thing. But the thing is that if I applied that to the gym, if I applied that to all these things, it would be really good. I guess we just make these choices that it's like, this isn't for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I like that idea of you do the hard part first.
Yeah.
I heard we talk about that a lot in the Alt-MBA. Yeah. Do the hard part first. But I think to your point is, I think I wrote about this recently where we almost forget what our unique strengths are. And so like I work with a lot of creatives and performing artists actually on Broadway in New York. And what they don't realize is that getting up in front of 1,000 people and performing every day is incredibly daunting and scary for so many people. Oh, yeah. And they're like, what do you mean? This is what we do.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you can pick up the phone and have a phone call and I'm here like, I could never do that. And then I can stick to Morning Pages, but you're like, how do you do that? Like, we all have something that we're good at. Sometimes we get too obsessed with comparing ourselves and beating ourselves down, and it's kind of worth looking at, well, what am I good at? What if I just double down on that instead? And I can live with not being on the phone and not making phone calls because I'm doing all this good stuff over here.
Mm. I identified yesterday when we were talking about the lease and not reading the lease, how much pushback I have from reading something. Because I feel like when I read it, I'm going to internalize it. So emails, I don't like reading. Even when you texted me this morning.
You didn't want to open it.
No, I read it once and then I sort of forgot exactly what you said, but I just wrote back what I was thinking at the time.
Interesting.
Because I didn't, for whatever reason, I'm like, I just don't want to, I don't want to have to take in every word. I mean, what the fuck's wrong with me?
I don't know.
Do you think there's that? So I do this too, actually. Is sometimes you read an email and you're like, I can't, I need to think about that more.
Yeah.
And then you leave it for a day and it's like weighing on you and it gets worse and worse. And I've heard someone talk about this on a podcast of, I think they called it be the shark, that like a shark doesn't read an email and go, well, a shark doesn't read an email at all.
Yeah. But
the point is the shark doesn't see a fish and go, I'll come back and eat that in 24 hours. It just goes, oh, I'm going to go and eat that. So it's like you read the email.
They don't
just
star respond. It for later.
No, exactly.
Unless it's Greg Norman.
He's the shark. Yes. I wonder if he's on email.
Actually,
Greg Norman, there's some interesting stuff about him. He brushes his teeth with one leg standing up, like one leg up,
really?
Like balancing.
Can you confirm that, Mr. Norman? Do you even know who, hang on, mate. Do you know who this guy
we're talking? What's his name?
Greg Norman.
Do you know what he does?
You don't know who he is.
The shark?
That's great.
He's 19.
I always confuse Greg Norman with Paul Hogan.
Yeah, well, because okay, really? You can imagine Paul Hogan, the famous Australian actor, would play
Greg Norman. Greg Norman. Yeah, he definitely has that
the
vibe.
The shark.
Mr. 97 can tell us, because there might be, we've probably lost a whole lot of people with the Greg Norman.
type in Greg Norman
quirks.
Brush teeth.
Oh, we're not saying who it is because he's going to, okay.
Yeah, because he'll work out.
Wait, what are you doing?
Well, he needs to discover who Greg Norman is.
Oh, did we not say?
No, I'm okay. Saying we won't say because old mate will have this moment.
He's going deep here.
He's looking. He's really, I know that guy. I've realised him.
He's got a good tan. American accent.
I actually don't recognize him.
Still hasn't got it.
Never seen him.
So did you find anything about... So he's a golfer?
Yeah. Well, he was one of the best golfers in the world.
Nah, I can't see anything.
Nothing about it.
I have heard that.
Nothing. I actually... He plays golf. Yeah. I think it might be in... if you've got Tim Ferriss's book, Tribe of Mentors, open up to the Greg Norman one. I think it's in there. Because I think he's been asked on that one potentially.
How'd you get good at
to work on balance?
Yeah, I think like when, and I feel like Pilates and stuff.
See, this is a good example of something that if I identify as good for me, I'll start doing. Like, okay. I'll potentially start doing that if I there's enough evidence behind it being something.
I'll give you one. Brush your teeth with the opposite
left hand. Yeah, I've done that. I did that, and then I think it was just annoying. Like you're not brushing properly.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting seeing the development of a kid, my son, seeing which hand he's going to go with.
So has he got a preferred one?
Left.
Wow.
Yeah. For holding his dicky, is that what
No, he doesn't judge, mate.
He does, it just switches.
Left or right?
If you use your other hand, it feels like someone else's.
That's a crazy
thing. A friend of mine once told me that.
I don't know. It's a story someone said.
Why are you pointing, to me? I've never said anything like that in my life. Well, that would be a piece of advice. What context would we even say something like that? That is absolutely absurd.
Well, the other day you guys were talking about porn and stuff, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
I was saying I QP. Mm.
You quit
porn. I quit porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been great. I fucking love it. I don't know, but maybe it's like... What I'm saying is maybe the getting off it or the starting to do something, this new thing that you've done... There's empowerment when you actually see it through for a while, and then you're like, "It's not me, guys." Like I'm identifying as the person that doesn't watch it now.
Well, I think
it actually is helping me stay off.
Well, so what you said before is like these things you realize are choices all of a sudden. Like, oh, I have the agency to change my mind and do something else instead. Yeah. It's like that's actually quite empowering because I think too often we get stuck in we think we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to watch porn, or we have to do whatever to. Make ourselves happy.
Tummy was forced. Yeah, that's how it all.
A friend of mine. This is a belief. He said, "I can't have sex unless I watch porn."
Wow.
Because he watched so much porn.
Oh my god!
What does that mean? Wait, he has to watch porn during sex?
To even like to get into it. He's like, I can't get it up now.
Wow.
Based on, I will say, not watching porn, you can use your imagination a bit better.
But that's pretty fucked. If you get to the point where it's
that's like, horrible, man.
I just need to pull my phone out
that
and check something.
Yeah, it's like with a partner, right?
Wow. Yeah, bit of foreplay, nothing.
And so that's a real problem. I didn't have that.
Yeah,
I was just like, maybe I should stop this.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that's the equivalent of saying like, at least I'm not doing heroin. It's a little bit of that vibe.
I can't make phone calls, but at least I'm not doing heroin.
Definitely. Yeah, I can't remember what I was going to. That's really thrown me. Are you still doing TJ waking up in the morning
meditating? Yeah,
how many days in a row?
Well, I'm on this. So I've done out of the app 37 days. I'm on.
You're on Sam Harris's?
Yeah, Sam Harris's. Yeah, I'm 12 days in. I haven't missed a day for this.
What do you mean 12? Oh, okay.
Because what I did was I did it for say 2-3 weeks, and then I stopped, and then for a couple of days, and I just was sporadic. But this month I've just been. On it, and it's
great. How do you find the app? Because I've been using the same one.
It's awesome. What day are you on?
I think I finished the 60 days.
Ah,
and now I'm on
60 days. When do you do it? Just in the
after my morning pages. Yeah,
that's nice.
So I do it. I've done the 60 days, and now there's a daily lesson that just comes up. So it's
amazing.
Fresh every day. Yeah,
yeah, great. So I've got 37 in,
and Sam's talking awesome. In all of them.
Yeah, it's him.
Yeah, he's I've used Headspace in the past, and I really really liked Headspace. But he's like he almost intellectualizes in a way. Yeah. I actually quite like it. But when he says stuff like, look at your head, you know when he says that? And you're like, what? Look at your, and he's sort of saying, staring into space, now look at your head. You're like, how do I do that? Anyway,
he's saying pinpoint. So he said like, the thought you have or where you feel like you're thinking from, where is that?
It's amazing.
And so, and so it's like this is all these feelings and everything that's going on, senses, smells, sight, hearing, is all happening in consciousness. Mm. And so it's like, where is this? And so I think he tries to help you challenge what you believe is consciousness, you know, that we're in behind these two, you know, with these eyes, behind this head.
Yeah.
And so I like that scientific approach that he takes to sort of have you realize that what we believe and what we think from what we've grown up with is not the way it is.
Do you think it's the ultimate branding exercise for him? Like being the voice of all these people's meditation.
Oh, he's been doing it for years.
Do you think that that's sort of like, it's like your mum's got like a whole meditation thing?
She's into it.
Yeah, right? I'll link you.
And
yeah,
so get around it. Do they then become these gurus or like the, you know, what's it called? What are the
guru?
Guru. Like, is that a thing? Like, I wonder if that's a thing where it's like people are building these relationships with Sam based on him being in their head. Like maybe there's something the Daily Talk Show.
Well, I was going to say it's pretty similar to a podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the sense that if people listen to you every day, they feel like they get to know you a little bit, even though they've never met you. I mean,
I this is the thing, right? People like Seth Godin, or if you go sort of back, people like Gandhi, or these super prolific people at the time of their existence, they were doing the thing. So Sam Harris might be that guy, right? That in, like you're saying, in 20 years' time, we're looking back at Sam. It's like he taught so many people. Like he's leaving
the
legacy.
It's so hard to see though, don't you think? Because it's like he wears the same things as us. He like has an iPhone. Yeah, I guess like.
Yeah, I know. I think it's harder to have – to be the person in history that made huge, significant change other than these monsters like Jeff Bezos and stuff. They're the new pioneers of people, you know, people that be remembered
from. I don't know if Jeff Bezos is a monster, but.
Well, think about it. Like he's created a
actually
monster.
Just got
he's the owner of a monster.
I just got a notification of an Amazon.
He's a fucking monster. He heard what we're talking about. Heard, knew, he preempted me mentioning his name.
What about the Julian Assange? Do you see Assange being like carried out?
I saw something
out?
Today. In the
Did you see the video?
Ecuadorian something or other.
I watched a four-minute subtitled video of the Ecuadorian president
this
talking about
this is always the risk with Tommy. You'll read you'll watch the 4-minute thing.
No, it's great. It was interesting hearing why they kicked him out. Yeah. And I can't even relate it, but it was like a bunch of small stuff, a bunch of stuff he was doing.
Pissing
like
on
he was use he didn't want to use their internet and all this stuff. I mean they supported him for like 7 years or something. I don't know much about it, but he got a buffet breakfast most mornings, I'd say.
He's doing all right for 6 years.
Do you reckon he had bed in, like full bed in breakfast?
Surely not.
Here's your thing.
Well, I did see like him getting carried out freaked me out because it's just like you have this idea of what he looks like in your head based on a few years ago, and he's like crazy beard. He looks like David Letterman, what Letterman looks like now, like crazy. So, but
he
hopefully.
He looks like a little, like, you know, like the they got him. This is the thing. Don't do that when you're getting taken out because they're going to take the one frame that you actually look like a small little marsupial. You know what I mean?
But try and look as strong as possible.
Pull a Conor McGregor. He's just,
just running.
Just looking
I'll take myself out, guys.
Any frame, even if you're capturing 1,000 frames a second, he's looking good.
Have you ever been handcuffed?
Never been handcuffed.
Really?
I've been taken to the police station for questioning.
Have you?
My brother was doing scouts and he's – friend's dad was a security guard and he had handcuffs, which why the fuck did the security guard have handcuffs?
I don't think they're allowed.
Well,
I don't
know. Citizens arrest,
yeah, this was like in the 90s or whatever, but the kid put the handcuffs on my brother, but they didn't have the key.
Oh my God.
And so they were at like a leisure type center that was attached to the shopping center. I remember mum being mortified because my brother James had to be walked through the shopping center with handcuffs on.
Could you impersonate her being mortified?
I don't know what she wouldn't have said anything.
Okay, just
I'm absolutely mortified, Josh. But the but I remember my my teacher in grade six. He as a side hustle was a security guard at Endeavour Hills shopping center, and he was telling us how he couldn't like because we were pumped about it. We're like, man, like did you tackle anyone? He's like. Security guards literally can't do anything. They just like have to walk and follow and be like, yeah, can't do much.
I was big on citizen arrests. I just remember being so fascinated about like citizens' arrests.
I remember as a kid it was a great bit of like trivia that you had. Of like, do you know anyone can arrest anyone?
Yeah.
Like, oh, shut up. Tell me you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
No, look it up. Anyone.
I remember. Can you look up Citizens Arrest, Mr. 97? I want to know what the sort of the ins and outs are.
I would definitely be someone to. Do you think I could do a Citizens Arrest?
No, definitely not. I don't think you have the skills to manipulate someone who would be in need of Citizens
Arrest. I think if you were to doing, if you were doing the physical bit and I was doing the.
I knock him out and you just stand there. Yeah. Take, you can have this one.
Mate. I think with both of us there.
Take him in, Josh.
No, just like be very stern.
We need to do. We need to start BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, if we want to really be capable of a Citizens Arrest. No. I've done a bit, not I haven't gone to do a class. Mm. I want to buy the full outfit.
It's all the rage at the moment. I mean, full body workout and like great to burn fat and all that
stuff. Yeah, if there's one fighting form or form of self-defense, BJJ. Mm.
Yeah. What do you do exercise-wise?
I go to a CrossFit gym in Richmond.
Mm. Do you stretch?
Yeah, I do a bit of stretching. I'm trying to do more of that recently because I'm quite long and tall and I just am always sore? Uncomfortable and sore. Yeah, so I've been seeing a physio and I guess he's a yoga instructor as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a master's and so he comes at it from a very physiotherapeutic background. Mm-hmm. I think I just made up a word.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And he's trying to help me like loosen up my back and my hips and stuff. So yeah, I do a bit of stretching as well.
Have you done the magnesium spray?
Not the spray, but I've done the flotation tank.
And the little dance that goes along with it? No, I'm joking. I'm just saying that it's probably like a bit of fucking bullshit. Well, you don't
believe the sprays.
What are these little spray spritz?
Yeah.
If you, I mean, if you're deadlifting 200 kilos every week, you probably it's not going to do much.
How many magnesium tablets have you taken?
I usually take one at night just before bed. Uh-huh. Yeah. But you got to be careful.
Mm.
Yeah. Have you made this mistake?
Yeah, I made this mistake. What? Well, I took three and was woken up by my own erection.
No, that was just the hand.
One erection, really? Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say like diarrhea. I think it can bring on diarrhea.
No, because apparently I learned this. I Googled it. Yeah, it was like painful.
It's a thing. And the it's reason, actually a thing.
Really?
We worked
because
out.
An erection, I've said this, Mr. 97, do you remember me teaching you this? What an erection is.
The relaxation of the muscles. Yeah,
the erection is actually the relaxation of the muscle, not the stiffness.
Interesting.
I'll tell you right now, I got into a conversation with my wife. She's like, what is your dick? Like, what is it?
It's a muscle.
No, it's not.
What? Really?
No.
It's not a muscle.
It's not a muscle. Let me
what are you going to Google?
It's not a muscle. It's like
incognito.
Blood rush. Incognito. What? It's your phone, mate. He's you can look furiously. Up dick. It's fine. No, but it's not a muscle. I think that's where it's just sold as like this, you know, the main muscle.
Can you
muscle.
Look up magnesium and erection just to check? But no, seriously, three was.
I also want Citizens Arrest, Mr. 97. So
to find out,
hope what you've this. Done two browsers.
Well, I can tell you what I'd say if I was arresting someone.
What would you say?
Excuse me, stay where you are. You are under citizens arrest. Mm. And that's what I'd say. But very stern.
Do you think they would just laugh and walk off?
Yeah, I would.
Definitely. You'd be like, righto, mate.
I'd say freeze.
Freeze.
They can reckon? Run. This is the thing. Do you chase them?
I could imagine you'd get pretty intense about it too.
Yeah. And why would you do it? I think there's a few decisions that need to be made at what point.
And what would be the thing that would make you do it?
I can tell you. You can go if you want, Josh.
If there was... If I felt like I could take them on, that's probably a good
one. They couldn't be a massive.
Yeah, if it's strong, sort of if it's like someone who's if they've got weapons, that's not a good thing.
Not great.
If I'm in a car, 100% would run them over.
Feel strong.
Yeah, did like you? if someone
that's legal, dude.
If
that's
someone's doing something illegal,
that's
if running someone to run.
If you no, but I don't run away. I stay there. Is it a little? Would I get done? Would I get done if I saw someone breaking into a car? My own car. So I was thinking about this a while ago when we in our cage at our old apartment block, there was people stealing shit. And I thought, if I was to come home and I could see them at the cage, could I drive into them and pin them to the cage?
You could, but they'd probably get away with the crime.
Based on me doing that.
Yeah, it's fairly aggressive. Like it's fairly fucking... extreme force for someone just looking through a cage.
Is there something in the police force where you're allowed to go like one level above the act of violence that they're ring? I don't know how it applies to a citizen, but I think
well, they have a weapon and it's drawn. Then this is why it's murky, right? A cop shoots a person, they have to justify it. They have to go up against the case, right?
Yeah.
Mr. 97's got some.
Here we go.
We've got some news. So with the citizen's arrest,
good start.
You the force you can apply has to be reasonable and proportionate to what they are applying.
So proportionate, yeah. So I think with police, they can go above proportion or whatever that is.
Okay.
So it's like I would in self-defense or to prevent the offender from escaping.
So if someone was breaking into your
I could break into their cage. Into the
Wait there, I'm going to break into your cage.
It's a long... Yeah.
You couldn't run into them.
But no, I could. I could.
If
I pinned them...
in your cage and you drove the car up, just block them.
If I just block them, if I pinned them... But they were fine.
Mate, you don't know when it's really hurting them. Okay, that's enough. You got me.
I'm pinned. I'm pinned.
I'm pinned. You've pinned me. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ooh, they're all going to say ooh, ooh. And on the erection thing?
Yeah, it's just tissue and magnesium does cause tissue to relax.
But is there an actual connect? I just want to show that I'm not bullshitting. There is a connection between taking magnesium and erection.
I did not know that.
Mm. And for some reason I told like the whole family... And then when I was staying at mum and dad's, every night I was having magnesium, mum would say, don't take too many. Which is just a bit filthy.
That's awkward. Basically, your mum said to you, don't get an erection tonight.
Yeah, don't
Josh.
Get an erection tonight.
Here you go, which
is,
you go Josh.
Which that's is actually awkward. A very effective way of not getting an erection.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, just mum mentioning anything to do with them.
Yeah, go.
Magnesium is essential for metabolism of nitric oxide, which helps in penile erection.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. So you could use it as like a natural Viagra maybe.
Mm. Interesting.
Mm.
Interesting.
Because apparently, no, but doctors are prescribing Viagra at like a huge scale in the US, I heard.
Really?
Yeah. Like for older dudes, and it's like a bit of a problem. Same with like a lot of the ADHD drugs and things like that.
Yeah.
Is it a problem
though? Adderall in America? Is that what they call it? Adderall,
Adderall speed though. It's like.
That's what ADHD medication is essentially,
Mm. But it's not really that big of a problem for old blokes. What? Just need a helping hand.
Yeah. No, but it's not. But it's probably not good for your like heart and stuff like that.
Not, but who owns Viagra?
Who?
Pfizer. It's like a massive pharmaceutical company.
Which basically runs America.
What's like Pfizer worth? I always love to look up the net worth of companies.
And then can you look up Fitbit stock?
PF, isn't it?
Yeah,
P-F-I-Z-E-R.
Yeah, PF. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, he's Mr. 97. I'm sure
he knows. He's laughing over there.
Do you take much medication? Are you like a
none.
Panadol and stuff? Do you ever take Panadol?
I took Panadol and Panadine last week actually because I was wiped with this virus last week.
And you still managed to walk with me on the Wednesday.
I did recover.
You were recovered by
that. That was part of the reason I had to move Monday. I could hardly do Monday. So I took Panadine, which is Panadol and codeine, paracetamol and codeine.
Is that Panadine Fort or something?
No, that's the next level up. Okay. So I had Panadine as prescribed by a doctor because I was unable to move from bed basically for
4 days.
I just had a virus.
Do you have a family doctor
that you go to? Flu or what it was.
Do you go to the same? The problem is I don't have a family doctor. So every time I go to a doctor, I've got to be like,
start from scratch.
I'll be like, where do I go?
Yeah,
I used to go to the 24-hour clinic if I wanted like a medical cert.
That's fine. What's wrong with you? Go to a doctor, any doctor.
But it's good to have one that knows you.
So I've had one growing up.
Mm. Dr. Baum, that was my doctor. But he's in Endeavour Hills and he would be basing all of his medical knowledge from me from being like 11.
Yeah.
So it's a bit different.
I had one growing
super
up.
Relevant.
Dr. Minogue in Brighton. He'd seen everything of mine.
Everything.
Well, you know.
I get it.
You go in, got twisted balls.
Did that really happen to you?
Yeah, you can get twisted balls. They just... Whoosh, and
really?
It's so painful, man. It's like they can untwist themselves, but sometimes you need surgery. I didn't need surgery.
Thank God.
It's full on.
So what do you guys do when you need to go to a doctor now? How do you find a doctor?
Ackland Street Medical Centre. There's like super clinic.
Is it pretty rough there, the super clinics?
They're all bulk. I actually just go for bulk build. Yeah, I'm just like, I don't want to pay for this.
Yeah.
If I need a script for something, which I don't, it's so rare, right?
Yeah.
But there is something nice about going to the same person, but it's hard nowadays. Like a lot of doctors, clinics, move. Super high turnover.
Yeah, I had one for a while and then I went there one day and he was gone. I was like, all right, well, I guess you're no longer my doctor. Mm. So last week I was in Apollo Bay and my uncle was actually there who's a doctor. Mm-hmm. So that was convenient.
Oh,
so
that's great.
That was a family doctor in the sense that he was my uncle.
That's good. What's the deal with having your uncle do it? Is that okay? I guess so.
Well, he's not writing him a script for Viagra.
No, codeine is...
Oh, great.
Codeine's fine.
Pretty safe, yeah. So I that was when I, to answer your question, that was the last time I had medication. But apart from that, not at all.
I want to find out what you're excited about in the future, but I think we finish off. But I want to know from Mr. 97.
$70 billion.
$70 billion. Pfizer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's how that's much Pete's going to make this year.
And Uber is $1 billion in comparison. No, $100 billion.
$100 billion.
Wait, so Uber's bigger than Viagra.
Pfizer
Uber
makes money, though. I think, guys.
Yeah.
Uber's just in debt.
Yeah.
At the moment, Pfizer's been around for a long
time. They're making money, and they've
been keeping us strong and hard for years.
That should be their motto.
Keeping us strong and hard for years.
So you're going to Indonesia?
Next week. Yep, going on a little holiday.
So you go through Bali, but then when you get to Bali, where do you go from there?
We're getting a boat across to the Gili Islands, a place called Gili Tea.
Cool.
Which should be cool.
Fly to Denpasar.
We have to stay a night and then we get a boat over the next morning.
Yeah.
How far is the boat ride, do you know?
I think it's an hour and a half.
Oh, that's not too bad.
So it's not too bad. Uh-huh. Not too bad. I'm okay on boats. Chelsea gets a bit seasick, so she's a bit nervous, but...
Do you know, one recommendation, don't do like the ginger Travacam. You know, like there's two type. There's the natural and then there's like the one that's like medical.
Yeah.
The ginger one was –
Was that the natural one?
Yeah, it's a natural one, ginger. Right? And Mum had said to me, don't go the natural one. But I thought that might be the same part of her brain that can sometimes be like outrageous. You know, like older people tend to – they've got a few –
Every now and then they say something in your
life. Yeah, exactly.
Was that racist?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Your words, but yes. And so that was one of them where I'm like, you're just against the natural thing, but I'm going to take it. And I was feeling so sick just chewing on this dumb fucking ginger tablet being like.
Gives you something to do. That's about it.
That's probably it.
Yeah. A little bit of a taste.
I remember when I used to get car sick. Mum used to give me a piece of chewy and say, just chew that.
Perfect.
And stare straight ahead.
Build the belief.
Along the Great Ocean Road and I'd just be staring straight ahead going.
Did it work or no?
I mean, no, probably I still not. Got very cast. Yeah, I still got very cast.
As a business owner, what's the thoughts taking a holiday?
Scary.
Yeah?
Super scary, yeah. It's been something I've not done as a business owner. I've taken trips but work, like work trips. So this is a long time in the making, I guess, and I've been thinking about it and trying to plan around it for quite a while. I will take my laptop and I'll probably do a little bit of work, but I'm going to try and do as little as possible.
And do you continue your meditation, your pages?
Yeah, it's a good question. I haven't landed on that yet. I have a tendency on a holiday to just sometimes do it and sometimes not, kind of just see how I feel. Mm. I like to give myself, like I'm torn. On one hand, I know it helps me feel good.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I'd kind of like to give myself permission to just do what I want on a holiday.
A reset.
Yeah. So I'm sure I'll do it a couple of times a day or a couple of times during the 2 weeks, but probably not religiously every day.
Will you listen to the podcast or do you think you'll have a break from the podcast?
It's our podcast. It's okay.
Our podcast. I think I'll still listen to podcasts. Yeah. I went on, even last week I went surfing with my dad for 4 days and was like, it's going to be great. I'm going to switch off. I won't do any technology.
Yeah.
And he's sort of walking around. I was like, I may as well listen to the podcast. You know, put a podcast in. And so I'm looking at the surf, listening to podcasts. So you're still switching off and relaxing, but I enjoy listening to podcasts. So I'm still going to listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
How long do you spend in the water when you go surfing?
Anywhere from 1 hour to 3 hours probably is pretty standard, depending on how good the waves are.
Isn't it nice? It's like you're saying you're standing there looking and you're listening to podcasts, but it's the one time you actually disconnect.
Yeah.
You're focused, task orientated. It's like the single focus of paddling onto a wave and then the focus of trying to maneuver on the wave.
Yeah.
And you're like, again. Let's go again.
Yeah, it's like skiing, I think. Skiing and snowboarding are much the
never
same.
Never been skiing or snowboarding.
Oh, it's the same.
Surfing?
Oh, I went surfing in Phillip Island in year 10 camp.
Yeah.
Year 9 camp, actually. I'll put a photo up on the Instagram.
How'd you go?
I remember being able to do it, which was good, but I was meant to do it in Queensland the following year and I was so excited that I decided to go bodyboarding beforehand.
So I should preface all of this talk about surfing when I talk about it as I was bodyboarding last week. Yeah.
Really? You got some big flippers though.
Well, growing up, we there was like a group of us kids growing up and it was like you either went surfing or bodyboarding and I got swept up in the bodyboarding crowd because at the time I thought I can do more tricks on a bodyboard. I can barely stand up on a surfboard.
Well, maybe
so
it wasn't even bodyboarding. What I was doing didn't have a board.
Oh, no,
it was
my body. Genuine with a body. So you're talking about body surfing, I think.
Body surfing, yeah.
Different.
Well, I tried it, nearly drowned.
Really?
So I ended up there. We had to get two. So one person tried to. So I was screaming for help. What?
And he thinks he can make a citizen's arrest.
Not in the water, maybe not. But no, I was 16 and I was screaming. I got like caught in something, like a ripple. Like basically what it was the water was hitting me and every single time I would like try to get a breath, it would hit me again.
Yeah.
And so I was screaming for help and the salt was fucking like scraping my throat as I was like screaming.
Yeah.
And then a lifeguard came out, but because it was right on when the waves hit, their board went flying and so they ended up getting like knocked away. And so another person, I had to get two lifeguards to get me. And then I like just go on the board and close my eyes and they get me to shore. And I was like, they're like, oh, you can walk now, you can walk. And I'm like still holding on. It's like this deep or whatever. Wow. And then I was like, sort of like.
Are you scarred from this?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I haven't been in the water since.
Wow.
And so no, I was like, you know, a bit sheepish or whatever. And I'm like, just sort of like limping. I feel exhausted because I thought I was going to die. And a lady came up to me and she said, oh, my God, I can't believe that you were drowning. I thought you were waving. And she thought that was going to make me feel better. I was like, yeah. This fucking lady. I was so annoyed about it.
That's not what I need to hear.
But an hour, like timing-wise, when you're surfing with your dad or friends, do you sort of say, who calls it when it's like time to go in?
It's sort cup of tea time.
I don't know.
Feeling comes.
Going by feel, yeah.
On the cup of tea thing, do you bring snacks? Is that like
could in
you,
the water?
The water thing's probably a bit
not in the water.
Not in the water. Definitely not.
Because you have pockets. I just imagine for some reason like up and go.
No, you would.
I swear I've seen an up and go ad. It's
probably a commercial. Yeah.
That would work.
I'm sure people do it. I certainly don't.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, there's definitely an up and go commercial where he's done a wave and then he's like, whoa.
Time for it.
You can wait. You can fucking wait.
That's the best bit about it.
No, I used to love it. The
up and goes.
Or no, surfing? No, no. Getting out of the water. You know when you've got like your mouth has just been so salty.
Yes, I love
it. And then I would crave drinking water, but I'd crave peanut butter sandwiches. It was just a thing that
like white bread getting stuck on.
Yeah, just
the
mum and dad would make them prepare them.
It's funny that as a kid, like last week we were surfing, like because the sun was rising, and then it was that point where you're like, oh, I really feel like a coffee.
Yeah,
because it's cold, so we'd paddle in and. Then we'd have a coffee. That
from
was
where?
Like that was the equivalent.
Like a thermos?
Yeah. Oh, we had a little stovetop and we'd boil a little kettle and make it.
Oh, that's cool.
Shit, yeah. French press, you know.
Yeah. Where did you get the – wait, was this in your car or something?
Dad's got it pretty decked out. They have a caravan, like an A-van. So it's like a little flat van that lifts up like that and there's a bed and there's a stove and there's a kitchen in there.
So
like,
good.
Are both like, of your
you
parents
in that?
Teachers?
You stayed
that was what I did, yeah. So they have a separate bed. So there's the big bed and there's like the – chair and table turns into a bed as well. So.
Nothing's designed for a fucking 6 foot.
Oh, it was uncomfortable. Like it was very, I was cramping in the neck and legs and I was like crawling into a ball like this.
Both your parents, were they both teachers?
Yeah. Yeah, both teachers.
Retired, both of them?
Both retired. Uh-huh. Dad's a surfing hippie and mum's a book reading hippie. So now they just cruise down the coast basically or up the coast, up to the north of Australia and mum reads and dad surfs. That's kind of just all they do, yeah.
That's good fun.
And they're so happy, it's amazing, yeah.
Have you got plans for when you get back? Are you pumped? I mean, you don't have the feeling of feeling rejuvenated just yet, but have you got plans for when you get back?
None, like explicitly. I'm sort of excited about building up some form of excitement while I'm away, I'm sure. Because when I get back, there's a few things like the Alt MBA starts up again, so that always generates a bit of buzz and I have a few clients that I'm working with at the moment that I've told I'm going to be away for the next 2 weeks. So I'm sure some ideas might come to me and I'll be excited about unpacking those and talking to those once I get back.
Yeah.
But there's no one thing I'm like, I can't wait to get back and do this.
What about, are you going to bring Easter eggs so that on Easter you have an Easter egg?
I hadn't planned on it, no. I like to do
there was always a big issue when I was on holidays.
I like to do no check-in luggage, so carry-on only.
Carry-on eggs.
So 7 kilograms, so I don't have room for eggs.
Mate, he's healthy. He said he's going
to – I know, but do you remember like when I was growing up and it was holidays, there was always – like I was still just as excited about the eggs. I remember being in – you know.
He's talking about it last year.
No, I remember – no, one
he
Easter –
he was in Europe.
one Easter – no, actually in – I remember where I had chocolate when I was in Europe, not on this trip but a few trips ago with Nissan. We Easter landed when we were in Malta and Malta is like a real Catholic or Christian or whatever, so they do a lot, but they get into the fucking painted eggs, which JJ isn't interested in.
Because you can't eat them. Yeah. They're real, they're healthy ones.
Where's the chocolate? But
4 grams of protein.
But they did have in Malta, the Kit Kat peanut butter bar, which is like
it's not Easter, mate. It's not something you eat on Easter.
No, you can't.
You're just now telling us a chocolate story.
Did we like
that has nothing to do with Easter?
No, but do you remember? I actually remember this very quickly.
Food on talk,
the,
your favorite.
On the Kit Kat thing. Do you remember when they started doing the thick Kit Kats,
the like big
the
fingers.
Single,
the
big
chunky
fingers?
Yeah, I remember.
Kit Kat chunky.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was smoking a lot of weed then. It was some of the best times.
That was a big deal.
But yeah, I know.
Anyway, so no Easter eggs for you then?
Probably not, no. I mean, it's Indonesia, which is full of Australians, so I'm sure there'll be somewhere selling chocolate.
But you're not going to actively is it Sunday probably they not. Do whatever?
I haven't done that for years.
Seriously, I've been thinking about my diet and I'm like, I want to fucking lean out a bit. I need to pull my finger out.
You don't need to eat an Easter egg over Easter just because everyone else
Well, that's
does.
What I was thinking. I was like, you know what? Maybe I don't. But then I'm using that as an excuse where I'm like, I've already started eating Easter eggs. In preparation, yeah. I'm like,
three weeks out.
Yeah. I'm not going to eat them on Easter. I'm just going to
just every day around.
Yeah, just going to get it through the system and then move on.
Pete, when you get back, you'll have to pop into our new studio.
I'd love to. I'm excited to see it. It'll be a little sneak tour before the video.
We'll have it and you'll
Why is Mr. Nice we'll
have an
Martin?
Area.
Our full feature video, feature film.
Yeah. It was great. JJ said, "Oh, Pete, check out this great video of our new place." And I thought, "Well, they've done a video and like made an edit and like you guys do very good videos." I sat down and oh, it's just a handheld footage of iPhone. Josh walking through on his iPhone.
Was it not impressive? It's good to know because sometimes
And it was like 8 minutes.
That was 3 minutes actually. It feels like
it felt like
that. Do you think did I miss the mark in regards to interest factor?
I mean a little bit. A photo would have been suffice, I think.
I did mention to Pete, I'm like, he should have a desk at the office and all that sort of thing. So I was, it was a soft sell.
I appreciated the
soft sell. You're not that interested.
We've lost him.
I really liked it. I want to see when it's set up now.
Okay.
I'd like to see.
Yeah. He's cautious.
What's your blog? How do people find your blog? I always click onto your Twitter profile. That's how I do it. But it's
linked at humanperiscope.com. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the URL I think is
ABEV, is it?
Yeah, abev.blog, which stands for a bird's eye view.
A bird's eye view. Because it's a human periscope. Yeah.
So abev.blog.
All right, well, you guys haven't finished your chimichangas. I've managed to do
cold
that.
Cold chimichangas. So yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it.
There's actually nothing wrong with a cold chimichanga.
Oh, I'm genuinely going to eat it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a Daily Talk Show. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. If you want to send us an email, otherwise we'll see you on Monday.
See you guys.
See ya.